today on Real Radio.
If things are going good, I'm happy. If things are not going good, I am not happy. So what's better than that is joy. I can have joy when I'm happy, and I can have joy when I'm sad. That's great. That's the fruit of the Spirit.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Give Me Liberty, Part 2, continues in a series called Galatians, Breaking Free from the Bonds of Religion. We'll be covering Galatians chapter 5 today with verses 1 through 12. We cannot be saved from our sins just by being good or by obeying the law. We can only be saved by believing in Jesus Christ and only in Him. In Give Me Liberty Part 1, the Apostle Paul taught us that there is no real life without liberty, and there is no real liberty without grace. Paul also said that there is a cry in our hearts to pursue freedom because life demands freedom. So we're to stand firm in the liberty by which Christ has set us free and not to return to the bondage of a works-based gospel. Today, on day 2 of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that knowing Jesus Christ produces a happiness within us. There are those who want to burden our walk with the Lord, but the believer who enjoys their freedom will move forward joyfully without hindrance. And now, continuing his lesson called Give Me Liberty, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Another thing that we consider here this morning is in verse 3, that liberty brings wealth in a most interesting way, because you know what? We've been bankrupt by our old debts. Have you noticed that? But we've been set free. Bankrupt by our old debts, I mean by this. Paul says, I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised. Here it is, number 2, that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. Oh, brother, I could spend years on this verse, and I mean it. People who say, you got to do this, you got to do that, you got to do that, you got to do this, you got, and then you'll be all right. Wait a minute. Time out. If you impose one law upon me from Moses, as holy as it was, and it's holy, any of the traditions of the fathers that would better or protect or guarantee my fellowship before God, the Bible says that if you do such a thing, you are now a debtor to keep the entire law. You understand what that means? It means if you break one of the Ten Commandments in thought, you're guilty of all of them. If you break one of the commandments of God throughout the Old Testament scripture, 613, that's it. There's no hope. That's why God gave the law to show us our inability to save ourselves, that we would cry out to Jesus and say, Lord, I can't do it. Save me. Jesus saved me. And that's the reason why Jesus died on the cross. Because people past, people current, people of the future could never keep the law, could never be holy enough. It's sad, but sometimes comical when you bump into people, though, who think they can. You know what I mean? You ever met them people? You ever met them? Well, you need to join our club. You need to be holy. I saw that they heard about the guys at the Harvest Crusade, the holy guys. Those guys out there with their signs, they're all holy. They're the holy guys. And they're the only ones going to heaven. And did you hear them? If you went to the Harvest Crusade, they're yelling and they're... And did you look at them? I mean, I thought the 60s were over. But, I mean, they were like hippies and they were saying this is the way and if you're not this way and if you're married, you're going to hell and all this kind of stuff. And I thought, you know what? Man, if those guys are in heaven, I don't know if it's going to be a very good, happy place there. They got a list of rules they had to have on a banner. I don't know how high that thing was. And oh boy, can you imagine bringing your friend, your non-believing friend, to a crusade to hear the gospel, and these guys are outside with all these rules and regulations? The world expects laws and rules. Jesus comes on the scene and says, those laws, those rules are holy. They're eternal. They're pure. And you have failed at every one of them. And just before we break down in tears, Jesus says, but I went to the cross and I died on the cross to pay the debt for the law that you broke. And if you put your faith in me, if you trust in me, I will take you to heaven. And I can't think, I don't know, I've been around a lot of places, I have yet to hear of a better deal. That God would love us, so guilty as we are. I got to tell you, when I landed today must be Sunday because you're sitting here right now. I'm all messed up. But I landed in L.A., had enough time to wash some clothes, kiss my daughter for her birthday. She wanted to have her birthday at Chuck E. Cheese. Get a load of that. Chuck E. Cheese, 17 years old. I want my birthday at Chuck E. Cheese. Now, she's probably going to kill me for saying this. And she wanted us to dress up in our pajamas and at Chuck E. Cheese. I think this is like I'm going to get back at my parents kind of day. So we had breakfast or, you know, whatever it is at Chuck E. Cheese. We look like lunatics. But that's what she wanted for her birthday. And then after that, at 12:30, I had to get to the airport. I had to get right back to the LAX to catch a flight to Europe. And here's the deal. I'm talking to a pastor on the phone, and I'm driving. And I'm on the freeway, and I'm talking to this guy up north, this other pastor. We're talking, and okay. And I'm thinking, I got to go, because this flight, if I miss this flight, I'm in trouble. And I got to go. And so I'm moving. And the next thing I realize, this is like LAX, next off-ramp. LAX, next off-ramp. What time is it? I looked at my watch. I got to LAX in a little over 30 minutes. No, wait. Hang on. That was wrong. I was so engrossed in this conversation with this other pastor on the telephone that I was driving in the carpool lane the whole way there. And I mean, I'm talking and I'm going in my hands and we're just going like this. And I'm sure that the policeman, they thought, man, that guy, he's really into a conversation there. And boom, I'm at LAX. I'm right there. I'm there, man. I'm right first run in line. I'm here to check in. I broke the law for miles. I was so guilty. I had no idea. It never dawned on me. I was in the carpool lane. It never crossed my mind. Now listen, I was guilty because the law is posted. Okay, if the officer would have pulled me over, I'm sorry, I would have had to say, officer, you got to cuff me. You got to take me in because I deserve this. But it never dawned on me. The law is posted. We are guilty. There's no doubt about it. But Jesus stepped in and paid the debt. He paid and he set us free. The Bible says all of mankind stands before God guilty, but he sets us free. Well, listen, verse 4 teaches us that God breaks us from the past. He breaks us from the past. It says that we're to no longer be estranged from Christ. There was a day when we were once estranged from Jesus Christ. The word means cut off from him. We didn't know him. I don't need to elaborate on that. You remember the day that was when you didn't know him. Look at number 4. Number 4, in verse 4, says, you who attempt to be justified by the law. Do you hear Paul's sarcasm? I wish we could hear him talk. Wouldn't it have been great? I would have loved to have heard this. You who attempt to be justified by the law. You've fallen from grace. The word in the Greek means you're beginning to slip away. It doesn't mean you have fallen, you're gone. It's over for you. That's not what the word means. It means you are beginning now to enter onto a path that if you stay on it, leads to destruction. It doesn't mean they were in destruction. But it says that they were attempting to be justified. I don't know if you're going to appreciate what I'm about to say. But it's most vivid and accurate. One commentator puts it this way. that due to the strong demand of these Judaizers who, in Paul's life and Timothy's life and in the lives of other disciples, demanded that those who knew Jesus be circumcised, that this word here could imply that those who attempt to be justified are just beginning to cut themselves. Now, guys, I don't need to take that any further. It is not a happy sight. And it is certainly anything but the joy of the Lord. It is a brutal thing. And that's Paul's whole point. What are you doing? You started off, remember when you're, he's saying, remember when your heart was happy? When you were glad? When you were so busy about the things of God, you didn't have your nose in everybody else's business, you weren't weighed down by things that didn't matter. You were intoxicated with God. And now you're beginning to cut on yourself? What's wrong with you? You've listened to these people? Be careful. Be warned, he would say. Why? Verse 4 tells us that we can be so frustrated by failure. Oh, my friend, you can never, never be circumcised enough. You can never be good enough. Have you found it out? I have found it out. Any of you finding that out? That you try and you try and you just give up. Forget it's not working. Jesus, save me. Lord, just save me. And then he puts, as it was, air into your lungs. And you can go again. And live again. Verses 5 and 6, he says, for we through the Spirit eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. Can you mark it down? Everybody highlight that. This is a sentence that points to my favorite topic outside of the salvation of Jesus Christ. For we through the Spirit eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. It is a reference to the imminent return of Christ. When all will be culminated. Now listen, did Jesus die for you? Yes. Have you been positioned in Christ by faith as holy? Yes. Is your name written down in heaven? Yeah. Are we waiting for the Lord to return? Yeah. What is our big struggle right now, though, in this life? This. Carcass. Flesh. This is what gets us in trouble, isn't it? Have you noticed that? What are you looking at me so pious for? You act like you know what I'm talking about. This is what gets us in trouble. We eagerly await for the redemptive process to be fully completed. What do I mean by that? When Jesus calls us upward in the rapture of the church, or, hey, if we die today, I'm not getting picky. I'm getting older. I'm not getting picky. Either way, bring it on. It's done. No more worried about this body. You ever seen a dead man tell a lie? It ain't gonna happen. Man, the moment I die or the moment I get raptured, the redemptive process will have been fully completed. This body will have taken on immortality. This corruption will take on what? Incorruption. Paul says, this is a great verse for the children's ministry. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. Isn't that a great verse? Did you get that or is it too early? Anyway. We shall not all die, but some of us will be living at a time when the trumpet blast will blow and the dead in Christ will rise and we who are alive and remain shall be caught up and meet the Lord in the air. I tell you what, that's going to be great. That is going to be great. Finally, we end with this, verses 7 to 12. That is, our happiness comes at God's expense. Our happiness comes at God's expense. Number one, knowing Jesus Christ gives us a reason to be happy. Everybody, I don't want to exactly apologize for this word happy, but some churches, some people, you don't want to mention the word happy. We're to be joyous. Yes, of course, I understand that. We are to be joyous. Well, you know, this world, you know, you're not going to be happy in this world. Okay, happiness, it's true. Happiness is connected to happenstance. That's where it comes from. In other words, if things are happy, if things are going good, I'm happy. If things are not going good, I am not happy. So what's better than that is joy. I can have joy when I'm happy, and I can have joy when I'm sad. That's great. That's the fruit of the Spirit. But keep this in mind. Knowing Jesus Christ produces within us a happiness. It's true. There's a happiness about it. Paul says, you ran well. Look at the verse. Verse 8, you ran well. Who hindered you? Who stuck their foot out and tripped you or tied a rope around you with an anchor on it? You were going so good. I think I've told you this before. If not, listen up and go rent the movie. It's very cool. Chariots of Fire. Remember that? It's really old. True story. It's between the life of two Olympians. One's Jewish, one's a Christian. It's a great, great story. And they asked Eric Little, you run like the wind, man. You love it. I mean, you're just so free. And how is it that you do that? And you know what he said? He said what every Christian's motto ought to be. He says, you know what? When I run, I sense his pleasure. Abrams, the guy who's the Jew, he's running all the time. He's working at it. He's working out. He's pushing. He's beating himself. He's just a mess. And Eric Little, he's just enjoying himself running for God. God was his motive, and he loved it. And the other guy, who was all bound up in works, he hated it. Tell me, who was the winner? I don't care who gets the gold medal at the end of the day. Who's the winner? How is your Christianity? How are you doing? Oh, brother, I'm just good enough. Oh, I hope I have a good week. Oh. Hey, how about letting God have a good week through you? You say, Pastor, you always say that, but you know what? I'm always going to say it until I drop dead. Why don't you do it? Watch what happens. Hey, it's right. You know, you get up, God, live this day through me in Jesus' name. Amen. You can pray. I can pray that prayer. God, help us if we're not praying that prayer. What are we praying if we're not praying that prayer? I don't care if you spend 3 hours in prayer. Have you asked him to help you? God, help me. You live your life through me today in Jesus' name. Can you pray a greater prayer? He says, thank you, Jack. Scoot over. Here I come, and here we go. And you watch what God does in your life today. The beautiful thing is when he does it, you're going to know it. And he'll get all the glory. Verses 9 and 10 teaches us that knowing the Lord encourages us. He says, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. I have confidence in you. Then he quickly adds, in the Lord, that you will have no other mind, but he who troubles you shall bear his judgment, whoever he is. Strong words. Paul is saying, listen, I have confidence that you will return back to the simple gospel. The simple gospel that is enumerated here before us, that God loves you, be ready for his imminent return, tell other people, enjoy Christ, change the world, because he wants to do it through you. And it's true. It's what he wants to do. What an encouragement. In verses 11 and 12, finally we end with this, knowing God makes us appreciate him. I tell you, do you appreciate him? I appreciate him. I know you do too. He says in verse 11, I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, that is, if I'm still preaching the law, then why am I still suffering persecution? Why are people attacking me? Then the offense of the cross has ceased. I could wish that those who trouble you, listen to this, everybody. I could wish that those who are legalistic and want to burden your walk with Jesus, I wish they themselves would just cut themselves off. End of story. There is no Band-Aid going to fix that. You get the drift? You want to keep the law? You want to be circumcised and go through all that stuff? You want to join some little group that you're the super, super saints and all those other people are lesser people, or lesser Christians? You want to set up rules to get you into heaven? Paul says, I wish they would just cut themselves all off. In other words, he'd be saying there's a chainsaw sale going down at Home Depot right about now. And if you think cutting skin, dead skin away, makes you holy, then just cut everything off. Man, is that strong? I said, Pastor, I can't believe you're saying that in church. Well, too bad, it's in the Bible. It's right here. Legalism will kill a church. Legalism will destroy. I'm not teaching a cheap grace. How can there be such a thing as a cheap grace when it costs God everything? There's no such thing as cheap grace. If you knew anything, allow me to be sarcastic. I know you know. I know you know here. But if you knew anything about grace, you would know that it cost God the sending, the birthing, the living, the beating, the piercing, the crucifixion, the resurrection, the ridicule, the rejection, the mockery, to this hour, of his only begotten Son. If you think God's grace is cheap, you don't know who he is. But when you do realize his grace for you and I is so holy, is so great, is so abounding, it causes you to fall at his feet and say, my Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for dying for me. And if Jesus were to look down and to say to us, what do you have to offer me? We could only say, Lord, I have nothing to offer you but this poor, sinful life who finds nothing but joy and adoration in the story that you came and died for me. There's no other message. There's no other hope that will set you free.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Give Me Liberty, Part 2. Thanks so much for listening today, and our hope is that you allow the joy of the Lord to be your strength as you continue to walk in God's freedom and in God's grace. Give Me Liberty, Part 2. It's part of Pastor Jack's series called Galatians, Breaking Free from the Bonds of Religion. It's a series that brings God's gospel of grace to light in a world that preaches a far different gospel, that being the one of good works and the traditions of the past. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Today was day 2 of this lesson, and don't forget that you can pick up any of these days you might have missed at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Hey, by the way, if you have a question about something you heard on the program, we'd love to talk to you about it. Just go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org and click the Contact tab. We would love to connect you with someone who can help you out. That's the Contact tab at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Hey, here's an idea for Valentine's Day. We'd like to tell you about a resource that we think you're really going to like. It's the Real Marriage DVD set. It's a collection of discussion-based programs to help provide a solid foundation for a happy and God-honoring marriage. All led by our very own Pastor Jack and his wife, Lisa, Real Marriage brings you an honest, biblically-based conversation on the issues that married couples deal with on a daily basis. This DVD set is amazing for any married couple. So to celebrate Valentine's Day, we want to offer you the Real Marriage DVD set for your gift of any amount to this ministry. Just go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org and get your copy of the Real Marriage DVD set. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.